Boy, oh boy! I got some big brass here today. Let me tell you, it's great. We're having a great time here at the station. By the way, still taking pledges at 928-1350, 1-800-246-WINY for the Prospect Street Fire Fund. You can call in your pledge this morning and then drop it off at the radio station at your convenience, or you may just pull right in. We have the folks from Putnam Bank all bundled up. They'll run right out to your car this morning and take your check. Make your check out to Prospect Street Fire Fund, care of Putnam Bank. Okay, in my studio, Ricky Hayes is here, Putnam Police Chief, also Deputy Fire Marshal for the town of Putnam. Ricky, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gary.
Good to have you here today. Norm Perrin, I mean, talk about legends, Assistant Chief and Fire Marshal for the town of Putnam. Norm Perrin, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, hang on a second. No, I got to get your mic. Something's up here with the mic. I got to hear Norm. Say that again.
Morning, sir.
By the way, you don't age. You got that Dick Clark thing going on. Yeah, what's your secret?
I was told that someone saw me on the news and they said that I aged
an awful lot.
They said you aged it. I don't know. That doesn't sound right. Norm, good to have you here today. Ray Phillips is here. Ray is a captain for the Putnam Fire Department. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you here today. Norm Bernier here, chief of the Putnam Fire Department. Norm, come on up and say good morning.
Good morning.
A position you've held since, what, the 1920s?
Not that far back, but close.
All right, good to have you here today. And Bob Campbell here, assistant chief. Bob, on the mic, say hello.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, good to have you here today. Ricky, first of all, you wanted to just a little explanation to the situation that, I don't know, I guess greeted the first responders and for the tragic fire in Putnam on Tuesday.
It was a tragedy in Putnam on Tuesday morning, Gary, and we all know that. And I think I'd just like to throw a message out to all the emergency personnel and first responders. We go through a lot of training. We've got a lot of years worth of experience and a lot of training, and we're taught that on what to do and how to help people. And sometimes as much as people try, there's just nothing they can do. And I know there's a lot of first responders, including myself, that walked away from that scene late on Tuesday, kind of depressed and wishing that there was more that we could have done. And I just want to throw out to especially the first personnel on the scene that tried to get into that apartment, including my officers and the fire department, the fire officers that are in this room. Everybody did everything they can. And I know everybody thinks they could have done more, and that's not possible. Mm-hmm. And I want to include the two adults from that third floor apartment.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the feelings that's going through them right now, but they did all that they could do as well.
Yeah.
And as sad as that sounds, sometimes you just can't get the results that you want. Mm-hmm. So it's a sad day for everybody, and sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow for the emergency responders, but everybody did all that they could do in that day.
I very much appreciate you saying that because, sadly, you know, it's a Facebook world we live in now, and people get on Facebook, and most people are just completely responsible and kind and compassionate, but there are some that are just idiots, and there's no other way to say it. They say ridiculous things. They write ridiculous things on Facebook pages, not just ours. And some of that was going around. I can't believe they didn't get the kids, and I couldn't believe people would write that. How could you be so cold, so cruel, so heartless? And I'm glad that someone here, as a first responder, as an official, will just kind of set that record straight.
A lot of times, Gary, we'll put on that hard shell. You know, we're tough cops and we're tough firemen, and we'll put on that hard shell, but we're all human beings inside.
Mm.
And I know it hurt me, and I had a hard time dealing with it, and I still do.
Yep.
In our position, we have to shake that off and move on.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody did what they can do, and sometimes we just can't get the results we really want.
And again, you know, for the people who do post on social media, ours and others, you know, use your head, have a heart, have some compassion. There are people, behind the comments that you make. And Ricky, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Norm Perrin, Fire Marshal. Norm, the cause of the fire, again, this particular fire, was what?
All right. A little bit difficult, but understand something, that this was an intense fire. There was a lot of fire showing on arrival, a lot of heat, a lot of destruction, a lot of fire damage, collapse of the roof, went to the third floor, burnout through the third floor to the second floor. With such devastation, we have to be very careful how we identify a area of origin as well as a heat source. With the amount of structural damage that was involved on that third floor level, it was extremely difficult for us to even develop an area of origin. With that in mind, we have to consider all the facts, and believe me, when I'm involved with the state and their expertise, we have to go with the fact that this is accidental and undetermined origin.
All right, and that's all we know. Will there? Is it possible there'll be more details, or is that pretty much?
That will be pretty much the extent of the determination.
And it was a collapsing of floors or whatever that really hindered. I would imagine hindered.
Well, when there's so much fire damage, and it eliminates all of those areas of origin, then we can't make we can no longer make an assumption.
Yeah.
We have a pretty good idea, but we cannot make an assumption and hang our hats on it.
But clearly accidental.
It was accidental. We eliminated all the possibilities, and that's the first thing we do is we take it from the extreme and we narrow it down until we're very comfortable, and we have to be very comfortable in our determination.
So that's interesting. So going in, you start worst case scenario and then rule things out.
You bet.
Okay, I get it. I get it.
There was no foul play intended. There was nothing there that we could hang our hat on. Yeah. Everything is based on what we saw when we initially arrived. The amount of damage, the area that was burning, the area that with the most destruction, and that's what we have to do. Okay.
I saw you there that morning, and there was a tear in your eye. Take off the hard shell. What is that like when you have to deal with that?
Still difficult.
Yeah.
Still very difficult. This guy on the side of me here made every attempt to get up into that apartment, and I was concerned about him because he didn't have the proper gear. He didn't have any SCBA. When I called for him on a couple of occasions, he finally answered me, told me he was coming out. He had a difficult situation where he felt that he didn't do enough, and I know his attitude.
Norm's pointing to Bob Campbell, assistant chief. You went in the house. Norm says even at your own peril, without proper gear, you went in the house.
That's what we're trained to do. In my heart, you got to do what you can, especially little tykes.
Yep.
You know, anybody. I've seen it before for adults, but when you're thinking and talking of kids, you try to do whatever you can. And like Rick and Norman said, it's tough because you were hoping that you could maybe get in a little further. Again, there's times that you have to stop.
Yeah.
And everybody did a super job. I can't say the best for all the area departments that came in. Everybody's on the same page. They may have not seen everything that happened originally, but everybody's on the same page. Everybody goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand. They think that it's easy to go in there. Situations are always different. Conditions are always different. If it would have been a lighter condition, if we would have got the call a little early, we may have been able to get him out. But we tried and tried, and it's going to bother us for a while.
Norm, you've mentioned too here at this microphone, as have others, how obviously time is of the essence when you arrive, and how quickly fires exponentially grow, and what is the standard? It doubles every something seconds, or what is that?
You're putting me on the spot here. And, the mass. I got to tell you that. When I got into my car and I looked across town over towards the hill, I saw flames.
Yeah.
Lots of flames.
And you guys know how fast things happen.
And I knew that we were in a compromising position at that point.
That's why Bob is saying, all right, my personal safety be damned. I'm going because...
Not a single one of us wouldn't have done the same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you're trained to do.
Yeah, that's what you're trained to do. And hats off to you guys. You got me tearing up here, right here with you as you tell these stories. So again, you know, this is the human component of what happens. I mean, you see these guys in the fire trucks and the uniforms and heroes. The word hero is certainly used, and rightly so. But man, there's just real people. There's real people.
And I'm going to take a moment here just to thank the East Putnam Fire Department for providing us with the manpower immediately, to the Dayville Fire Department for providing their personnel for backup people because of the it was a cold night, and we knew that we were probably going to need some relief. Woodstock volunteers sat in our station to cover us for additional fires, as well as the community rapid intervention team, because they knew that we were going into the building. We had those on standby also. Yep. So thank you very much to those departments.
Norm Perrin, Chief, I'm sorry, Norm, I got the Norms here. Norm Bernier, Chief, come on up to the microphone, if you will. Either mic doesn't matter. Okay. Obviously, on a personal level, you got to be proud of your guys.
I am very proud.
Tell me about that.
Well, I'm always proud of my guys. I think I've got one of the best departments around here. They know what they got to do, and they do it, mm-hmm. you know, which is important, you know.
Now, obviously, fire safety is an issue that we've had firefighters, and many of you have been here in the past, on a somewhat regular basis to talk about basic fire safety. It's typical, well, I guess October is Fire Prevention Month. Sadly, in the news, when the first cold snap of the season, it seems like each year, here come the chimney fires, and then it's candles and accidental fires and things like that, and it's just awful when you hear about these things. And you know, we talk about fire safety, and you just got to keep beating that fire safety drum, right? I mean, you just can't talk about it enough.
Yep. Well, our hearts go out to the families, you know, that lost the two kids and stuff. They can't say enough about that,
yep.
you know, and that brings us to the real reason that we're here is
yep.
is smoke detectors and
yep.
how they can detect something rather quickly
mm-hmm.
and save lives.
Yeah,
I mean that's happened more and more because of smoke detectors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making a push for that. Okay. This morning, and someone else will talk about that some more.
And that someone else is Ray Phillips. Ray Phillips, captain of the Putnam Fire Department. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, right away, in the midst of this, you said, we need to do something, and you came up with an idea. What are you going to do, Ray?
Well, February 23rd from 9 to 12, we're going to have an open house. We're going to have families, kids, everybody come down. We're going to talk about safety, mm-hmm. fire, smoke detectors, having a plan to escape the house,
yeah.
a meeting place. A lot of people don't realize that we need to do this. They do it in the schools,
mm-hmm.
but we got to do it at home.
Yeah.
Have a meeting place where everybody meets.
Mm-hmm.
People that have second and third floors, think about getting what they call a fire ladder or a safety ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You could get them at Lowe's. You could get them at Home Depot, Sears, Amazon. They range from $58 to $250.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, practice how to use them.
Yeah. And what smoke detectors, I mean, what do they cost now? Is it a $10 item? How much are smoke detectors, Bob?
$10, $15.
Yeah.
Even if it's $20 or $25, yeah. it saves lives.
And how many people listening? And I'm sure people will say, yeah, that's me. Oh, they have their smoke detector, and the little wires are hanging down because it went off when they were cooking a month ago, and they just forgot to hook it back up.
Yep.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
how many times you walk in someone's house, and there's the two little wires with no battery
right.
hanging down from the smoke detector? Obviously, it's useless.
Right, and on that same basis, put this in the back of your mind of these two little sweethearts that passed.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. You taking it down is putting somebody else in jeopardy.
Yeah.
In your family.
Yeah, exactly. And things can go bad that fast. And yes, it can happen to you. When I was 12 years old, our house burned down. Thankfully, we were not home, but we lost everything. You know, we just lost everything, all our possessions. And it was just an awful thing to go to. I cannot imagine adding loss of life to that. So again, you know, their real push here today, and I'm sure many people have thought about this themselves. It's natural. You do that when you hear about tragedies that involve fire. Geez, is my house squared away? And that's really what we're asking you to do this morning. Really, just take inventory of your own home. We do talk about when we set the clocks every 6 months, set the clocks ahead, set them back. That's always a good reminder time to replace those batteries. The batteries, usually it's the 9-volt batteries or whatever. They don't last forever. So just don't wait till it beeps. Just replace them every 6 months. That's a real good habit to get into. When that smoke detector keeps going off because you're trying to make something and there's a little bit of smoke in the kitchen and you're really annoyed. And don't you get annoyed when it goes off? You're like, oh, come on.
Yep.
You know, you get mad. You get mad at the smoke detector. You're pulling the battery out and everything. But then when it's over, put the battery back in. Put the battery back in when it clears. And make sure you're protecting your family. You're protecting yourself and your family, and that's what it's all about.
On the same point of that, a lot of the condos in town, we get calls numerous times for smoke detector activation.
Mm-hmm.
We get there and come to find out it's steam coming from a shower.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather go to that, them knowing that it's going off.
Yeah.
Than not having a smoke detector to go yeah. off to begin with.
Absolutely. So that's the message. The message today from our firefighters is take care of your home, take care of your children, take care of your loved ones. Make sure that your home is well protected with smoke detectors. They should be, how many? Is one per house on every floor? Where do you put them?
Single family. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, the more the better. You know, you want to probably have one on each floor, but we'll leave this to Norm Perrin.
Norm, right. Go ahead.
I'll step in here for a moment. Different laws, different situations, but basically you want one on every level, one in the basement area of the stairway to the first floor. First floor bedrooms in the hallways. It really would be nice, and the new codes are stipulating that the smoke detector be in each single bedroom for early detection. Okay. Majority of the people that are dying in residential fires are dying in bedrooms, unfortunately. Yeah. So if you have that early detection, then the more detectors you have, the better your possibilities are.
My basement smoke detector, I put it right in the area of the furnace and the hot water heater. Is that a good thing?
Kind of keep it away from the furnace area because they do smoke. You want to keep it at the bottom of the stairs, somewhere in the general area, but not necessarily near the...
But three-story house, you should have at least three smoke detectors. And even better, three bedrooms, one in each bedroom, in addition to every floor. And again, for the most part, I think we're talking maybe a $10 item. I've seen cheaper. And if you come to their event, the open house on February 23rd, will you be giving away smoke detectors to those who need them, Ray? Is that the goal, or what are you trying
to do? That's the goal. We're looking for donations. We would like to give out smoke detectors and tell them how to use them.
If people want to make a donation to the department, this is directly to the department, so they can indeed purchase some smoke detectors. I imagine you'll be able to buy them at a discount.
We're working on that with an area business right now to see if we can get a discount. So,
Bob, if people want to make a donation towards your smoke detector event,
yes.
What do they do? What do they send it to?
They can send it to. They can call me. That the firehouse number is 860-933-9016.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can send it check to Putnam Fire Department smoke detectors to 189 Church Street, Putnam, Putnam, Connecticut, 06260, in care of Bob Campbell.
And your donation to them will be used to purchase smoke detectors for people who perhaps just, you know,
can't afford it or
in need, but you got children and you want to protect it, and that's a good investment.
Yep.
And again, their open house, Saturday, February 23rd, from 9 till noon. Ray, thanks for coming up with that idea. That's an awesome idea.
Thank you.
All right, we're kind of out of time here. Did we miss anything? Did someone think of something we should get in here this morning? Candles, too. I know you hate candles. If there's
be careful with
if there's one guy I know who hates candles, it's Norm Perrin. Why do you hate candles?
All right. Candles in the house, and you'd be surprised how many people leave their house unattended, whether in different areas or they actually physically leave the house and leave them burning and only to return later and have problems. Candles have now replaced cigarette smokes as cause of origin and is the number one reason for fires in the house. So you got to make sure that candles are placed in the proper areas, nowhere close to combustible materials. Curtains, but make sure you put the candles out before you go to bed.
And dogs, pets, large dogs hitting a table, the candle goes over, hits the curtain.
Same thing, cats constantly knocking candles over, and you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to make sure those candles are out.
There you go. Sorry for all the people who make candles for a living, but Norm Perrin hates candles. So
I got to go home. Thank you.
It's official. All right, gentlemen, thank you for being here. Ricky
Hayes.
Thank
you for the time.
Absolutely. Norm Perrin, Ray Phillips, Norm Bernier, Bob Campbell, I am proud to say heroes in our community. Thank you, gentlemen. We respect you very much.
Thank you.
It's 7:56. Good morning.